needs that too. And so I come to my last now point. If there's any truth in the theory I've presented to you tonight, then it seems to me really important to get to know the real Jesus. The only Jesus that made any difference to Peter was the real Jesus of Nazareth, not a Jesus of our imagination, not anyone we can improve on, not someone we could dream up, not some whatever. It was the real Jesus, and his shoulders were about that broad, and he had certain colour hair and a certain coloured eyes and a certain accent which people laughed about because it was up from the country of Nazareth, and can any good come out of Nazareth, and all that kind of thing. And his mother's had his mother's nose and his grandfather's earlobes and the whole works. He was a real Jesus. And that's the Jesus that made a difference to Peter. And that's, you know, the story in Luke of in Luke chapter 5, perhaps, of the time when they went out fishing with him, this carpenter fella. And they went out fishing and there was an extraordinary catch of fish. Let's not go into the details of the story now, but whatever happened, there was something about it, something about him, something about his word, something about him that engaged what I've been trying to share with you, this religious love thing inside Peter. And Peter said, look, mate, go away from me, do what you like, but I'm a sinner. You know, don't hang around me, I'm not worthy of it. And you remember Jesus kind of grabbed him and said, mate, you're coming with me and you're going to be a fisher of men, you know. And Peter hooked into this thing because of this Jesus person. You know the story in Luke 7 of that sinner woman that came into that room that time when Jesus was there. Simon the Pharisee threw a party and Jesus seemed to be on to every party around town. So here he is in having this party with the Pharisees and all the right people were there. I can't help but imagine Jesus being fairly bored and wondering whether he should have come, but that's probably not being fair to Jesus. Anyhow, he's there with the Pharisees and you remember this lady comes in and she comes in with her alabaster jar, her precious ointment that she's kept not only a rainy day but penury. It's worth a lot of money to her and it's her precious possession, the only kind of thing of value she's got. And there's something about this Jesus person that went beyond her distractions and her sin and her kind of boredom and her hopes for her little kids or whatever else and her lifestyle and everything. And what do you do when you get the thing you're most precious and she gets this ointment? Jesus wouldn't want it, but she didn't know that. And she comes in with this thing somehow to give her best to him. To say, I love you, I suppose. And you know the encounter when she broke down and spilt all the perfume everywhere and started to cry and wipe his feet with her hair and the whole kind of messy scene that develops there in the gospel. But in the middle of it all is this broken, unsure, very inadequately relating woman, and there's this lovely person, Jesus, who is beyond all the criticisms and the eyes and the pettiness and the judgments of the crowd. And he looked at the woman and saw her heart and told her what a tremendous lover she was. She'd never heard that before. And she couldn't have been sin or she couldn't love like this. And he used of her the loveliest words and everyone round had to say, huh? How could she be loving? And she was. He was right. I'm trying to say it's the real Jesus that made a difference to that woman. It was his actual smile and the look in his eye and the words and the reality of his humanity and the whole mystery of his person that touched her. And I could go on, I don't need to. It was the same with Matthew, that poor old tax collector who was gathered in to join the fishermen there by this Jesus. What was there about the real Jesus? That's the one we want to get to know, if we can. What was he really like? What were his words? What were his feelings? What were his attitudes? What mattered to him? What decisions did he make? What did he love and what did he hate? What did he resent and what did he bring out of people? What did he challenge and what did he encourage? What was he? Because that's the Jesus, I don't have to stress it, do I, that made the difference to those people's lives. And why I have to stress it, I suppose, is that, well, in his own life, they didn't all understand him. Maybe they did. But they didn't like what they saw, or it was too demanding, or whatever. But we know he was crucified. That's a bit of a mystery, isn't it? We'll have to look at that later. But not long after his death, already people start to, and aren't we like this? Maybe Jesus is just too challenging, too simple, too direct, too something. So we try to accommodate it. We do it with each other, so we know it. You know what I mean? We can reduce people down, we can fit in. When love becomes too demanding, we can start to organize other kind of substitute things for it. We can domesticate anything if we're not careful. And the real Jesus couldn't be domesticated. But once he was dead, people could say, oh yeah, well really. And you get all, we call them heresies, don't we? Right through the early church, we get all these crazy, to us they look funny, and these notions of Jesus. As a matter of fact, the very first thing, we'll look at this a bit more next week, that people said about Jesus was that he wasn't really human. Now that's the craziest thing you could possibly say about him, whatever else you want to say. That he wasn't really human. Now, Peter, John, all of them is talking about real humanity, huh? But yet they said, no, because, why? Because under the pressure of those other things that they had to say about him, those other thoughts they had and those other reflections about Jesus that I've tried to get to, those religious things about divinity, about God, they got kind of caught up with those so much that they couldn't fit them in with being man, so they kind of wiped that off the slate, in effect, and said he had only appearance of a body and he wasn't really human. And all those thoughts sound really funny to us if you read through them. Till you look at your own thoughts. Now, I can't look at your thoughts if it's any relief to you, but that's not that ancient, that idea. The Jesus of so much of our images isn't really human. If you think of all the things that we deny of him, and all the things that we... God, he's at least a Superman anyhow. He's not like us in all things except sin. He may be for you, I hope he is, but I suspect that those early mistaken images of Jesus have kept up a bit. Do you really believe that Jesus was like you? Now there's profound differences about him. Innocence for a start, and the mystery of his divinity, yes. But do you believe his humanity was real? That he really felt, that he really didn't know, that he really had to come to understand, that he struggled for insight, that he believed, that he held on in faith and a cross, that he chose Judas hoping Judas would be at his right or left side in spreading the kingdom of God, and disappointed when Judas started to relax from it. Well, not only then, and I could run through the whole century, and that's what makes our task quite important, finding the real Jesus, because then you come just to today and think for a minute and check your own thoughts against mine. All the Jesuses that are in our world, on the American television, Sydney streets, if Jesus is who he is, and look at all the divisions within Christianity itself. Look at all the religious wars, at least religion seems to be caught up in there, mistakenly, but it's in there somewhere. And in the name of Jesus, you've got people fighting each other in all parts of the world. You've got misunderstanding, you've got something's wrong there. He can't be all of this. We've got to find who he really was, and if we did, we wouldn't find that. He wasn't a violent, divisive man like that. And then you have all the ideologies that claim Jesus. And it seems if you look at our world, and I'll have to be terribly careful, and of course I will make mistakes here, and you'll have to help me. The Jesus I'm going to try to present to you from the... Okay, I'm going to get a slant on it and not be able to quite come up, because how do you? I don't even know myself and I don't know you. How the heck am I going to pretend to know Jesus? I'm going to try with you, but I'm not going to claim to be able to. I just want to Help us get somewhere as close as we can to the real Jesus by looking, and this is my final point, at the real sources that we have to go to that can check our insights and say, was he really the way I imagined him to be, or can I find out that he was delightfully different from that? Are there ways we can get below all our own images and all our own projections and all our own hopes, and Jesus can be the gentlest person in the world if you're gentle, or he can be a revolutionary if you're a revolutionary, or he can be a warmonger even, it seems, if you're a warmonger, or he can be a total pacifist if you're a pacifist, and Jesus seems to be able to wear, am I right, any kind of thing you want to hook on to him, that can be Jesus. What was he really like? If he came into this room, would any of us recognize him? If he gave a talk over the television, would we turn it off or turn it on or say, I wonder who that is? Or would we know? The next week, and that's the conclusion of what I want to present to you tonight, I've just tried to see why it's important, as far as I'm able to come to know the real Jesus. Next week, as the last of the introductory lectures, I want to have a look with you at the sources that we can go to find the answer. And if we're faithful to those sources, and if we look at them intelligently and with faith, and if we try to nurture our hearts as well as our minds on them, we can come to know, as best we may together, the real Jesus of Nazareth. It's got to make a difference to me, to us, and hopefully to our world.